So Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbour, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day until the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do." And then from verse 29. "At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds, as you have said, and go, and also bless me.'"
I want to start with a question, and the question is this: why bother with the God of the Bible? I mean, it may be you've got friends or you've got family who are Christians, and you're thinking it's fine for them, but you just don't see why you should have to take him seriously. It's just not your thing. Or maybe you're someone who has been taking the God of the Bible seriously for many years, but you're kind of running out of steam. You just can't quite remember why you take him seriously. You've lost the joy you once had. And there are days when you wonder why you bother. Well, Exodus 12 gives us why the God of the Bible is worth bothering with. I've got two reasons, and the first is this. The first is that the God of the Bible is dangerous like fire. The God of the Bible is dangerous like fire, which gives me a chance to play with fire. Do you remember the Israelites were slaves in Egypt? And you remember it was miserable. And God says, "He's coming." And they think, "Great, he's coming. He's coming to set us free." But what he says is a real shock. Because he says, when he comes, every firstborn in every house, from the firstborn of the king of Egypt to the firstborn of the Hebrew slave, will die. You think, what? Who here is a firstborn? Who is an oldest child? Put your, no, stand up. Who here is related to a firstborn? You have an oldest child, or a brother, or a cousin. Okay, that's most of us. That's most of us. Do sit down. If every firstborn in this room died, just about everyone in this room would be sad. This is serious. What is going on? What is God saying? And the Israelites are thinking, well, I can see why God might want to get rid of the nasty old Egyptians. I mean, they've been brutal, but not us. We've never done anyone any harm. That's what we think, isn't it? We've never done anyone any harm. What we tend to think is, what's wrong with the world? It's not us, it's them. Can I just say, before we go any further, if that's you, let's not even think about the Ten Commandments. Let's just think of how you would like other people to treat you. How would you like them to treat you? I guess you'd like them to be, what, patient and generous? And give you a second chance and listen well? But just thinking of how you'd like other people to treat you, is that how you've treated other people? Nah. That's why there are arguments over breakfast, isn't it? It's why we fall out with our friends. It's why weekend reunions with the wider family are so tense. You see, what's wrong with the world is not just them, it's us too. And what we see in Egypt is a snapshot of what God promises one day. One day he will deal with all that's wrong. It's good news. It's what we long for, someone to deal with all that's wrong in this world, all that makes us cry. It's good news, but it's scary news, because one day we will stand before God. And he will face his verdict on our lives. And if he's going to deal with all that's wrong, and I am part of what's wrong, then the day I stand before God is a dangerous day. Do you remember Moses and the burning bush? God is like fire. And God said to Moses, do you remember? He said, stop, do not come any closer. Why? Because God is dangerous, like fire. And even Moses is like a little bit of old newspaper. And so here is the fire saying, I am going to come to my people. How is that going to work? God is fire and I am newspaper. When he comes, that could get dangerous. So why do we need to take God seriously? Well, some people think, oh, it's lovely that you are serious about God, but it's really not my thing. But if you were in Egypt and your neighbor said that, they said, oh, it's so lovely for you to be serious about God, but it's really not me. What would you say? You'd say, look, God is not just a story I like. He's real and he's coming and you need to be ready. Whoever you are, whether you're Pharaoh's daughter or a Hebrew slave, you need to be ready to front up to God. Kind of sounds better when Nina Simone sings it. But the words of the song, Cineman, Cineman, where are you going to run to all on that day? First thing we see about why to take the God of the Bible seriously is he's dangerous like fire. Don't think we didn't think about health and safety. The second reason to take the God of the Bible seriously is he's made us safe with a lamb. He's made us safe with a lamb. See, first reason, he's dangerous like fire. Second reason, he's made us safe with a lamb. Do you see what he says? He says, look, I'm coming, I'm dangerous, but here is how to be safe. Chapter 12, verse 3. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb. Now, in the little packs you were given on the way in, you should have been given a make-it-yourself instant lamb. And what you need to do is get the blob of cotton wool and stick on the black face and the googly eyes, okay? I've got a lamb. I've got one here. And do you see what the Lord says about this lamb? While some people are making their little lambs, others can look at chapter 12, verse 4. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. See, the first thing about this lamb is you look at the needs of each family, and the lamb is to be just what they need. And then you see the second thing about this lamb, verse 5. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, to be a perfect lamb. And the lamb was to come and live with the family and be part of the household. And you can imagine the firstborn. Imagine Samuel, the oldest boy, and Miriam, the daughter. They say, "Dad, why have we got this lamb? What is the point of the lamb? We're in great danger. God says he's coming. The firstborns are going to die. Samuel is going to die. And we have to take in a lamb? What is the point of a lamb?" And the father says, "But God has given us this lamb because this lamb is going to keep us safe." And about 1,500 years later, God gave us another lamb. Jesus of Nazareth, he walks up to the River Jordan, and John the Baptist sees him, and he says, do you remember what he says? "Behold the Lamb of God." What does that mean, calling Jesus the Lamb of God? Well, Exodus 12 tells us, God looked at our need, and he's given us the lamb that is just what we need. And he's the lamb who is without defect. His friend said he was someone who never harmed anyone. He never committed sin. No deceit was found on his lips. The perfect lamb. And he's come to live as one of the family. One of us. He calls us, do you remember? Brothers and sisters. And we think, what's the point of Jesus? The polar ice caps are melting. There's someone I care about who's very, very ill. People are dying in Syria. You've got a knot in your stomach every day when you go to school. You say, what is the point of some man who lived 2,000 years ago? And the Lord God says, he is the Lamb who will make you safe. You say, well, how? Well, back in Egypt, the family were getting quite fond of the lamb. They'd even settled on a name. What should we call this lamb, do you reckon, then? What do you reckon? Sean, should we go with Sean? Let's go with Sean. So one evening, father takes Sean away. And do you see what they had to do with the lamb? You look at verse 6. First person to spot what they had to do, shout it out. What did they have to do to Sean? They had to kill him. They had to kill him. Do you see what we've got to do to Sean? I'm afraid. Sorry about this. I'm afraid I need to kill Sean. I'm going to do it like they do it in the Greek tragedies. I'm going to do it off stage so as not to alarm anyone. So just bear with me a moment. Sorry about this, Sean. Ah! So we did that bit. I've killed Sean, and I've got this bowl of his blood. And what do I have to do next? Okay, verse 7. What do I have to do next? Can anyone spot what I have to do? Who can shout that out? What do I do with the blood? I've got Sean's blood. What do I have to do with it? Put it on the door. Okay, put it on the door. That's what I'm going to do. While I do that, you'll notice in your instant Passover packs, you've got a do-it-yourself door, which you can make, and you've even got a little tube of blood, and you dab the blood on the door using the branch that has been supplied, okay? So you do that, and I'll do this, and we'll see how we get on, okay? So I'm just painting the blood on the door like that. How's that? And it's the top. And it wasn't just the top, was it? What else was it? It was the sides as well. Okay, sides. Okay. Is that about right, you think? Let's do... Okay, that's good. Yeah, happy with that? Okay. Now, I've done that. I painted the blood. So the fathers painted the blood of Sean all over the door. And at this point, Samuel and his sister Miriam come back in and they say, Dad, where's Sean? Dad says, I had to kill him. What? Why? What harm did Sean ever do to anyone? No, he's done no harm. But the Lord has said that Sean must die and that his blood will keep us safe. You see chapter 12, verse 13? The blood on the door will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. You see, when God comes, if he sees the blood on the door, he will pass over our house. And Samuel, our firstborn, will be kept safe. And at first, Samuel and Miriam are all kind of, how could you? But over supper, Samuel is all, Dad, you definitely killed Sean, didn't you? Dad, you definitely put the blood on the door, didn't you? Yeah, I did. Dad, and it's really easy to see, yeah? Imagine Samuel being quite nervous going to bed that night. But he didn't need to be. Do you see what they're meant to wear for supper? Do you see in verse 11? It says, this is how you're to eat the lamb. This is over supper. You're to eat with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. In other words, instead of being in their pajamas, they were to eat their supper with their coats on and their bags packed, ready for a journey. Why? Because the Lord is assuring them, he's saying, I will come, and if you've taken shelter under the blood of the Lamb, you will be safe. So pack your bags ready, because in the morning, we're going on a journey. And so they go into the house, and they eat their supper, and they go to bed, and the next morning they wake up, and all the Egyptians are wailing. But everyone who took God seriously, everyone who painted blood on the door, walks out safe. And Pharaoh says, did you catch that in chapter 12, verse 31? Pharaoh says, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Go worship the Lord. And off they go, thousands of them, out of Egypt, not just Israelites, but also people from Egypt and other countries who took the Lord seriously. Now, if you were in the crowd that made its way out of Egypt, and you're carrying your bag and you've got your coat on, and I said to you, hold on, you're a firstborn. You're the oldest son. In Egypt, all the firstborns are dead. They're crying. What? Why are you not dead? What would you say? If I was speaking to you, if I was some kind of TV reporter, and said, you're a firstborn, why aren't you dead? What would you say? I think you'd say, I'm alive. I'm not dead. I'm alive because the Lamb died in my place. And in the New Testament, Paul says that Jesus is our Passover lamb. Remember, there came a day when Jesus was taken away. And his friends had grown to love him. And they said, why does he have to die? What harm had he done? He'd done no harm. Jesus said, though, that he'd not just come to teach. He'd not just come to be an example. He said he'd come to be the lamb. The one man who did not deserve to die, perfect, come to die in our place to make us safe. It's very puzzling, isn't it? When you look at the cross on which Jesus died, and you think, why should the death of Jesus on a cross keep us safe from the God who's like fire? Well, I don't suppose we'll ever get to the bottom of understanding it. Not really. There's mystery there, isn't there? But you see how Exodus 12 helps us to see what's going on. God is like a dangerous fire, but in his love, he gives us a lamb to keep his people safe. And the lamb dies instead of the people. Which means the people are safe to go. Now, it might be you're thinking at this point, hold on. Well, which is it? Is God the one we're in danger from? Or is God the one who made us safe? Which one is it? Is he dangerous or is he making us safe? It seems so odd to say he saved you from himself. Well, what is that all about? Well, if I were to borrow your phone and drop it into the washing up liquid, the washing up bowl, and kind of break it, for it to be fixed, someone needs to pay, yeah? And either I could say, no, I'll pay for it, I dropped it, I'll pay for it. Or you could take pity on me and say, it's all right, I'll pay. But someone has to pay. If you pay, you are the one I was in danger from. You could have hounded me for the money I owed you. But you see, you're also the one who made it safe because you paid for me. And the Holy God looks at how we've broken his world, and he says, for all the injustice, someone has to pay. And either he makes us pay, or he takes pity on us and says, for all you have done, I will pay. And that's what he's done. He's provided the Lamb to die in our place. In his love, the Father's given us his own dear Son. And in his love, the Son said, yes, I'll be the Lamb. I'll pay. So why bother with the God of the Bible? You see why Exodus 12 gives us the reason to take him very seriously. See, some people think, if there is a God, I'll be fine. I mean, I go to church, I don't really get into trouble, I give to charity, I never really hurt anyone. Well, the Israelites did not put a sign on the door saying, pass over me, God, because I go to church, I give to charity, I never hurt anyone. They knew that wasn't true. There was only one way to be safe. Trust in the way to be safe that the Lord provided. To trust in this one person who didn't deserve death, but who in his love came to die in our place, to make us safe. One way to be safe, trust in the blood of the Lamb. So take the God of the Bible seriously because he's dangerous like fire. Take the God of the Bible seriously because he's made us safe with the Lamb. And the application is this. Remember what he's done. You see, chapter 12, verse 14, the Lord says, this is a day you are to commemorate for generations to come. Remember this day. Remember what I've done. And you see how they're to remember it? Chapter 12, verse 15, for 7 days you're to eat bread made without yeast. They are to spend 7 days eating bread without yeast. Normally, we put yeast into bread to make it rise. Little powdery stuff, you mix it in with the bread and the bread rises, yeah? But on the night the Lord came, there wasn't time to do that. They had to pack their bags and get ready for the journey. So they couldn't add the yeast. They had to have flat bread. And so for generations to come, God's people were to spend 7 days at the start of every year eating flat bread. Have you seen in the little packs you've got, the little piece of flat bread? You can nibble it if you like. But mostly, notice that it's flat. And that was to remind them that God had given them a whole new start. See, there wasn't time for the bread to rise because they had to pack their bags. They were going on a journey. And every time they eat the bread, it's a reminder, we're not in Egypt anymore. We're on a journey. We're heading to the promised land. Friends, aren't there days when you would love a new start? That is what God gives to his people. Just before he died, Jesus said to his friends, remember my death. Say, well, why? It's because what I have done for you has given you a whole new start. And Exodus helps us to see what that means, because the point is, we're not in Egypt anymore. We've packed our bags. We're off. We're heading for the promised land. Remember that. And the trouble is, we keep forgetting. So there are days when we forget we're not in Egypt anymore. And we kind of go back to Egypt. But think of what Egypt was. Egypt was a place where people were mean. You had to fight to get your own way. It was a place where people didn't listen to the Lord. It was a place where people worshipped other gods. And there are days when we live a little bit like that, as though we're still in Egypt. And we say, well, is it what everyone does? Jesus says, no. Remember what I've done for you. I've given you a new start. You're not in Egypt anymore. And there are other days when we forget. We forget where the journey's taking us. We forget that we're heading for the promised land. So sometimes we're very aware of messing up, and we feel afraid of what God might do to us. We're not quite sure if God will have us. And Jesus says, no, remember what I've done for you. I've given you a whole new start. You're not in danger anymore. You're safe. The Lord's got hold of you, and he's leading you to the promised land. The journey's begun. So friends, if we've forgotten why the God of the Bible is worth taking seriously, it must be because we've forgotten about the Lamb who he gives us. We've forgotten the difference the Lamb makes. We were slaves, but now we're free. We were in danger, but now we're safe. And the Lord is leading us on a journey to the promised land. He's leading us home to be with him forever in a world made new where there'll be no more tears. Because that's why we follow him today. That's why. That's why it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be his. Let's pray, shall we, as we sit. Book of Revelation says that the song of heaven is, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Our Father, we praise you. We praise you for who you are and what you have done, that you have given us the Lamb. And we pray that you'd give us hearts that would join in with the song of heaven today and tomorrow and for all eternity. And we ask that in the days ahead, for tomorrow morning perhaps, when the road is hard, we pray that we would still be able to rejoice and be glad that we're yours, because we would know we're not in Egypt anymore and that you are leading us home. Oh, for that we praise you. Amen.